Hello again, this is Carol Bond, returning with the Decatur Herald Review, dated September 15th, 2015. Before our break, I promised you a story about sports team, and the headline is Teamwork, It's Clicking Into Place. This was written by Aaron Dow, who is an H&R staff writer. And this is how it goes. Tom Cantwell has been patiently waiting for 2015. There was a high moment in 2013 when St. Teresa won its first regional title in 21 years. Last year had promise, ending with an 8-6-4 record, and many of that group came back for this season. The Bulldogs coach also knew of a massive and talented group of mid-state tested freshmen who were about to walk through the door. Combine those two, and it's easy to understand why Cantwell was so giddy to show off his new creation. I knew they were coming, and as coaches were kind of salivating and chomping at the bit to get them here, he said. But especially with the kids that we had returning, we only graduated two seniors from last year, so we knew this year could be a very, very special year, and that's kind of how we promoted it in the summer. I should say that this article involves soccer. It wasn't stated in the headline. Normally, freshmen, even some of the most talented, don't make an impact right away. The Bulldogs, though, had strength in numbers, and their list of freshmen totaled 9. 9 players experienced enough that most see significant playing time and a handful even start. The ability to play at the varsity level was apparent right away. 3 freshmen netted goals in the season opener against Tolono Unity, and 5 have scored goals so far. In fact, it's freshmen Alex Ruby and Luigi Caceres who top St. T's leaderboard with 5 each. The talent level wasn't going to be an issue. The biggest hurdle was figuring out how to combine 2 successful teams into 1. This is quoting the coach. The summer wasn't going to be a lot of learning the X's and O's and a lot of the technical aspects of the game, he said. It was going to be getting the freshman class that had been playing together forever and our returners that had been playing together for 1 to 3 years to mesh. They tried a new style, one that borrows parts from both. We've learned how their style of play mixes with our style of play, how they used to play at mid-state, midfielder Christian Gomez said. Their style of play is more one-on-one and moving the ball. Last year, we were more attack the goal, and now this year, we're more possess and talk and communicate and moving the ball a lot quicker. Learning a new style of play is one thing, but finding a connection actually on the field usually takes more time. Turns out Cantwell didn't even need to wait until the season to see flashes of what he wanted. We played a showcase in Maroa, and it clicked a lot sooner than what we anticipated. Honestly, he said. So it's been a real good, real natural progression. And that's what the summer's for, to kind of build this thing up. And the returners were very accepting of the freshmen, and everybody's just clicked, and it's full steam ahead. From after the first week of practice, I already felt like a family, Caceres added. Just right then, I knew we were going to have something special. The returners included Christian Archer, who is in his second season in goal, Gomez and his 14 goals, defender Morgan Coit, and midfielder Connor Luttrell. There was already a good base at every level in place, but the freshmen have given the Bulldogs so much depth. It's been fun. We've been learning a lot because the freshman class has really stepped it up in big games, Archer said, and they're listening to us whenever we tell them what to do. There's a bit more learning on the freshman side, and some of it has nothing to do with what they're hearing from the upperclassmen. Got to be a lot more physical, Cassara said, because when you play club soccer at Midstate, it's a lot less physical. You've got to put in a lot more effort and be stronger here. The Bulldogs came into today's game against Pena with a 6-2 record. Their only losses to Effingham St. Anthony, 8-1, and Williamsville, which has won 3 straight regionals, both were one-goal games. But so there's still progress left to be made. But one of the stranger makeups for a team has St. Teresa's quickly becoming one of the better threats in Class 1A. It's a lot of fun. This is the first time I've really been hoarse after a game, Cantwell said, after facing Mount Zion. But yeah, it could be a very special year for us. We just got to keep getting better every single game, each practice. Let's find out now what Dear Abby's readers are writing to her. Dear Abby, I'm a few months pregnant and married to a man I love with all my heart. We have a young son together. For the last couple of months, I have had severe morning sickness, and my husband seems to resent me for it. He complains that I don't do anything anymore, but I have been so ill that some days it's all I can do to get to work in the morning. I try to help out as much as I can, but it doesn't seem to be enough. Lately, he has shown no interest in me or the pregnancy. He won't go with me to doctor's appointments, no longer asks me about them, and refuses even to discuss possible names for our new baby. I have been to the emergency room twice, once for dehydration, and another time for a car accident. He showed up only after I begged him to come because I was scared. When my mom showed up, he couldn't get out of there fast enough. He has been very secretive with his phone lately and has been working longer and later hours than usual. I don't know what to do. I'm scared that he doesn't want me anymore. Am I being hormonal, paranoid wreck, or is something bad going on here? And she signs herself Emotional Mess in Ohio. Here's Abby's answer. Dear Emotional Mess, you need to confront your husband with that question. His behavior is the opposite of supportive. Whether it is because he is immature or because he is seeing someone else is anybody's guess. But a change of behavior this drastic on so many levels is certainly cause for concern, and pretending you don't notice won't fix whatever is going on. Moving on to the next question. Dear Abby, my wife has children and 2 grandchildren from a previous marriage. Her granddaughter, Jasmine, is 19. We were never close to her or her mother, but we tried to heal old wounds a few years ago. Once Jasmine turned 17, she started getting tattoos. She now has them all over her body, thighs, chest, and stomach. She has a full sleeve on one arm and a half sleeve on the other. She has piercings in her earlobes and has pierced her nipples. At this point, I don't want her in my house, and neither does my wife. I don't want to be seen with her in public, and because her mother allowed her to do this, I would rather cut all ties with them My wife agrees. I don't see us changing our minds. Your opinion, Abby. And he signs this grouchy Texan. Dear Texan, I am glad you asked, because it appears you and your wife have forgotten that under those tattoos and piercings is a grandchild. I understand her body art may be off-putting, but I'm disappointed that nowhere in your letter did you express what kind of person Jasmine is. I'm sure that, like most people, she has more to offer than what's on the surface. She may be a sensitive, loving, caring, talented, and intelligent individual who would love a relationship with you and her grandmother, and she may be deeply hurt by the sentiments you have expressed. That said, unless you can look deeper and get to know and love Jasmine for the person she is, it would be better for her to avoid such shallow individuals as the two of you. There are two letters to Dr. Keith Roach that may be of interest. Here's the first. Dear Dr. Roach, radiation can be used to treat cancer, but I've heard that radiation from too many CT scans and X-rays can cause cancer. What is the difference? I'm 72 and have had close to 25 CT scans over the years, mostly of my sinuses. Do I have an increased risk of getting cancer? His initials are WS. Dr. Roach's answer. In medicine, all therapies have potential side effects. Some drugs that are designed to stop abnormal heart rhythms paradoxically cause them. Anti-epilepsy medicines increase seizures in some people. That's why doctors need to individualize therapy based on many factors, some of which initially are unknown. There is no doubt that radiation therapy is effective for some cancers. Testicular cancer tumors are among the most sensitive to radiation, and early stages of this disease have greater than a 95% cure rate when treated with radiation. However, there is a clear increased risk of secondary cancers later on in people treated with radiation. The absolute risk, however, is only a few percent. So perhaps 3 men of 100 treated with radiation therapy for testicular cancer will develop another cancer. The net effect of having multiple CT scans is not known with certainty, but most experts do feel that radiation from medical tests imparts a small risk of cancer later on. For this reason, it's always important for a clinician to think twice before ordering a test with significant radiation exposure. A CT is up to 300 times more radiation than a regular X-ray, and dental X-rays use even smaller amounts. A chest X-ray is roughly the same amount of radiation you'd get in a day from natural sources, such as cosmic rays and radioactive decay in building materials. In your case, the absolute risk of developing cancer for 25 CT scans is very small. The average person in the U.S. has about a 25% chance of death from cancer, but as a rough guess, someone with as much radiation exposure as you might have a 25.1% risk, so just a 0.1% increase. And here's a woman who writes a question about urinalysis. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 67-year-old woman with a really good doctor who does not do routine urinalysis, but who does regular complete metabolic panels, CBCs, chemistries, etc. I don't have diabetes or anything wrong with my kidneys. It has been my understanding that my blood test results would reflect any kidney issues. Now my insurance company is pushing for me to have a routine urinalysis. The company will pay me if I have it done. The reason given is that the screen will reflect early kidney disease. Is this really necessary if the above-mentioned blood work is completed? Here's Dr. Roach's reply. I am confused by this. Routine or screening urinalysis is not recommended except in people with diabetes or known kidney problems. I certainly understand why an insurance company would want you to get a preventive care service, such as a vaccine. Many of these not only keep you healthy, but also save the insurance company money by keeping you from getting sick enough to be in the hospital. Giving you some incentive to get recommended preventive services is a great idea, but a urinalysis isn't a good choice. It is not recommended to obtain one in healthy women and isn't a good choice for detecting chronic kidney disease. A blood test would be appropriate for people at higher risk, such as those with high blood pressure or diabetes. Insurance companies are not known for giving money away for no reason, so maybe yours knows something about you or thinks it knows from your previous medical records that makes a urinalysis a good idea. We turn now to the Decatur Tribune online and we look at the front page to find out what Paul Osborne has to say in his City Beat column. The headline is, Future of New Aldi in Decatur, now in the hands of the City Council. The Decatur Plan Commission has approved rezoning property near the intersection of West Ash Avenue and U.S. Business 51 so that Aldi's can build a new store. The vote was 5-2 to approve after a two-hour-plus meeting with the council chambers at the Civic Center packed with neighbors of the site and others who did not want, quote, the neighborhood destroyed, unquote, by the increased traffic from the new store. There is only one other public body that needs to approve the rezoning, and that's the City Council. As I'm writing this column, it has not been made known at which future council meeting the members will vote yes or no to rezoning and pave the way for the new Aldi's or stop it. That's the last chance for the neighbors to plead their case and try to stop the Aldi's project at that location. Just because the Decatur Plan Commission approves rezoning doesn't mean the City Council has an obligation to also approve it. During my years as mayor, there were times the City Council disagreed with the Plan Commission's vote and voted the opposite way. That's why there will be a lot of pressure on the mayor and city council members to go against the Plan Commission's vote and give thumbs down to the rezoning. Will the council bend to pressure and vote against rezoning? Is his question. Although a strong case can be made against rezoning the land, I would be surprised if the council voted against the rezoning. The members of council, although expressing sympathy for the feelings of the neighbors, have to feel the city can't afford to reject Aldi's request. The city's reluctance to vote against such projects had its origin when the city council voted against annexing the land to build Hickory Point Mall decades ago. Forsyth has no hesitation to jump at the chance, that is, had no hesitation to jump at the chance, and for every day since the mall opened, Decatur has lost tax revenue. The City Council also approved rezoning for the Target-anchored complex at Mound and Route 51 over a dozen years ago. Although that happened only months before I became mayor, I attended some of the meetings where people voiced their opposition to the rezoning, but the City Council approved it. bad argument. There are some good arguments against the rezoning for Aldi's, but one really bad argument is the same one that was heard during the development of the Mound Road complex. And this is in quotations, why don't they move into one of the empty buildings that's available? Believe me, it's not about the building. It's about location, location, location. Large companies have figured out how much money they can make with the right location, and the majority of the time the location is not in a vacant building, because the vacant building is usually vacant because another business failed there. I remember a couple of people making the argument that Target should move into the area where John's Hill School was located and leave Mound School alone. That just wasn't going to happen because of location and traffic flow. Businesses like Aldi know that traffic flow is critical to the bottom line. The first priority is about location, and they know how much traffic is part of that location. If the location isn't suitable or available in Decatur, it will be made somewhere else. That's the harsh reality of business decisions today, and it certainly makes it tough on neighborhoods that are directly affected. The Decatur Tribune also lists an event that's scheduled in Decatur on September 19th and 20th called the Prairie Celebration Living History. Explore 1800s crafts, skills, and life at the Macon County Conservation District's annual Prairie Celebration Living History event. This event will be held at Rock Springs Conservation Area on Saturday, September 19th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday, September 20th from noon to 4 p.m. Admission is free. Tour a living history encampment of over a dozen different artisans demonstrating skills and crafts from the 1700s and 1800s. Several tradespeople will have handcrafted items for sale, including pottery, baskets, carvings, and hand-dyed yarn. Visit Homestead Prairie Farm to explore this circa 1860s farmhouse and yard listed on the National Register of Historic Places and glimpse what daily life in Macon County was like 150 years ago. Adults and children can try their hand at lottle spear throwing, an ancient hunting technique, for free. That word is spelled A-T-L-A-T-L. There will also be activities for children along with tickets to treasure prizes for children who visit designated activity stops. Enjoy free wagon rides throughout the weekend and music on Sunday. Food will be available for a fee. Proceeds from the concession stand support the Rock Springs Ground Squirrels Vintage Baseball Team. For more information about the event, visit MaconCountyConservation.org. Rock Springs Conservation Area is located on the southwestern edge of Decatur. To get to Rock Springs from Decatur, take Route 48 south and turn west onto Rock Springs Road. Watch for signs. There's plenty of free parking available. We'll return now to the Decatur Herald and Review, and we have time to read one editorial. It's headlined, Money Key to Lawsuit Debate. The state of Illinois either has one of the nation's worst judicial climates, or else it's a state where the ordinary plaintiff has a fair chance to win against corporate giants. It just depends on who you ask. More importantly, it depends on where the money is located. That's the result of the news last week that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was proclaiming that the Illinois lawsuit climate was one of the worst in the nation. According to a survey conducted for the Chamber's Institute for Legal Reform by Harris Poll, the Chamber said only Louisiana and West Virginia have worse lawsuit climates. The results are based on questionnaires asked of senior company attorneys about how a state's lawsuit environment is likely to affect important business decisions. So at best, the results of the survey were pretty predictable. However, Governor Bruce Rauner lent his support to the issue, saying the lawsuit environment in the state is hampering economic growth. You come here, you open yourself up to attack and excessive judgment against your company, the governor said. Rauner has proposed legislation that he said will put the system more into balance. Those reforms include medical awards based on charges rather than actual payments, changing overly inclusive liability standards, and limiting venue shopping by plaintiffs. The Illinois Trial Lawyers Trial Association disagreed with the survey and with Rauner. Perry J. Browder, president of the association, said in a written statement that the Institute for Legal Reform is a, quote, front group for the nation's wealthiest special interests, end quote. Well, here this is another quote from Mr. Browder. The only lawsuit crisis in Illinois is the one conjured up by the imaginations of phony front groups funded by big businesses trying to saddle the state's taxpayers with the costs of caring for those who are injured or the survivors of those killed due to corporate negligence or malfeasance, Browder said. Browder also didn't put much stock in the survey, calling it math washing, using numbers to give the veneer of science and precision to a biased study that found just what it wanted to find. Of course, if you limit the outcomes of lawsuits, you limit the income of trial lawyers, the editorial goes on to say. Balancing the rights of plaintiffs and defendants is a tricky business. And as a nation, we heard we head to court way too often. Illinois does need some sort of legal reform since it appears to be out of sync with the rest of the nation and surrounding states. But that process will require careful negotiations among all sides. It won't be accomplished with questionable studies and two sides trading the same arguments that have been around for decades. This has been an editorial of the Herald and Review. And this has been Carol Bond with the September 15th reading of the Decatur Herald and Review and the Decatur Tribune. I look forward very much to reading with you again.